It's good to be here. I think we've had a good conference. We do want to thank you for all your hospitality, all your kindness, all the good food, all the good fellowship, all the good preaching, all the good singing, and all that other good stuff. We want to thank the Lord for you all. Open your Bibles, if you will, the book of Proverbs in chapter 22. It's the bottom of the ninth. There's two outs. Bases are loaded. And two more batters coming up to bat. I want you to know that Poland still needs gospel preachers. Amen. And I would think it would be a shirking of my duty if I did not compel and try to persuade somebody to come over and help us. And so if you're concerned about that, you might ought to fasten your seatbelt, because my message today is a plea for Poland. I hope it will be a message that will bless your heart. We're going to use the Bible. We're going to be looking at a lot of verses this morning. I'd ask you to look at them quickly. I want to read in Proverbs in chapter 22 in verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the street. Let's read that again. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. And let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask you to have mercy upon me and these thy people. God, I pray you would forgive me of my sins and the sins of this thy people. And God, I pray that as we end up this conference, that your name would be glorified. And Lord, all those that you are dealing with, they would surrender to your will. And God, that we would have been edified by this meeting, that we would use it for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we pray for those soldiers laboring on foreign fields, that you'd bless them this day, encourage them. Lord, we pray for every soul winner in this room, that you'd bless them. And Lord, may our work be effectual in honor and glory to your name. Oh God, we pray you not let the devil have the victory in any way, shape, or form. May your name be glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. There's a similar verse in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs. It says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. And I had a chance to look up what this word meant, what a slothful man is. And here's the dictionary definition. A man having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion. Isn't that about right? Now, there are no doubt people in this room that are not slothful when it comes to making money. I mean, they exert themselves when it comes to making money. I mean, I've seen some of you know, you can just do a job at making money. You're a good worker. And I would like to apply this scripture, not in slothfulness perhaps in our everyday business, but when it comes time to exerting oneself for the spiritual warfare that we're in, we find ourselves as slothful men. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As a door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful man upon his bed. Now, I've gone in and out of doors a lot in my lifetime. I have never gone out a door and seen a lion out in the street. Huh? And I dare say some people will not go to Poland to preach the gospel because they have imagined in their mind that there's a lion out in the street and they can't do it. And I think the man that gives us this proverb, he's trying to tell us it's not so much that there's a lion out there, but the root cause of the problem is slothfulness. Having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion, spiritual exertion. Many people have given excuses and they turn on the bed of excuses over and over again. I cannot do that because there's a lion in that street. And this lion comes with many names. In Proverbs in chapter 30, it says, a lion which is the strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any. Now, if you ever did meet up a lion, you're going to be in a fight. If there really is a lion out there, you will be in a fight. Whether real or imagined, we have to overcome the imagined line just as much as we have to overcome the real line. We have to overcome our slothfulness, our spiritual slothfulness, our excuses that prohibit us from going out and preaching the gospel. I'd like to say, first of all, that line has a name, whether real or imaginary, that for that line, and one of the excuses we give is, it's not permitted to preach the gospel where we're going. It says that the lion is the king of beasts, and that just leads me to understand and think about the kings of the land. Say, you're not allowed to preach the gospel here. Well, brethren, it's not so in Poland.
That is an imaginary line, because you as an American have freedom to go to Poland, and you have the freedom to stand up in the streets of Poland wherever you want and preach the gospel. Now that's not to say that you're going to be well received. That's not going to be say that you might not have some difficulties, but you have the constitutional freedom to go. It's not the king that's saying you can't come here. The king's wrath, the Bible says in Proverbs in chapter 19, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor as dew upon the grass. Now you mark it down, if the king was against you, you might have some problems. I mean, if the king really did prohibit you from preaching the gospel, there would be some affliction and some problems to overcome. But I'm afraid many times, and especially when we talk about Poland and Mexico, we're talking about an imaginary lion. We're talking to an excuse by the slothful that said, I'll not go out in the street because there's a lion out there. How many times have they come up to us in Mexico and says, you can't do what you're doing. Why is that? It's against the law. Whose law and what law? They took us to court. You ask Brother Bill, ask some of these missionaries down in Mexico, how many times they took us to court and the judge ruled in our favor, these men have a constitutional right to preach the gospel. But you know, there are people not preaching the gospel on the streets today because they imagine that there's a lion out there, and that lion comes in the name of government or king. Well, I think that lion was slain down in Mexico, and that lion was slain in Poland. You have a perfect right to preach the gospel. Amen. The fear of a king is as a roaring lion. Whosoever provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. Yeah, there's a lion out there. He's got some teeth in him. And if that king says you can't preach in there, you mark it down. If you're going to tangle that lion, you just might get bit. You might get clawed up and scratched. But you know what? I'm saying this morning that many times that is just an excuse. I can't go to the mission field because they won't permit me to go into their kingdom. Had a missionary family come back from Poland. Well, they wouldn't give us a visa. Well, did you ask? Well, I went down there to ask, but everything was in Polish. Well, what did you expect it to be in? I mean, you know, come on, give me a break. Huh? Imaginary lines. I mean, we build these, somebody says a paper tiger. But it's the slothful man that says there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. I can't do it. As a roaring lion and a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor. If you ever run across a wicked ruler, you're going to have some trouble preaching the gospel. You mark it down. I'd like to say, look in Ezekiel chapter 22 if you would. Not only, do we have to be concerned about the kings that are called lions, imaginary or real. I would like to say that some people would say, I cannot go to the mission field. I cannot go to Poland. I can't go to another country and preach the gospel. I cannot preach the gospel here where I'm at because there's a certain fear about the false prophets. I mean, have you ever talked to a priest? I mean, there's a certain fear when you're just talking to what we call a commoner. You know, there's a certain fear with them, but even much more so when you're confronted with a leader of a religion. We talk to Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics and Mormons all the time, but when you talk to what they say in Spanish, el mero mero, the top dog, then, you know, you start getting butterflies. Ezekiel 22 and verse 25, it says, there is a conspiracy of our prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. There the slothful man says, I will not, spiritually speaking, I will not go out into the streets and preach the gospel because there's a lion out there. I'm afraid of confronting the priest. That priest will devour me. He's much more educated than I am. He knows things that I don't know. I'm afraid of him. And so they'll not get into the Bibles and learn what God has to say. And they'll not take the sword of the Spirit and go out and confront the lion. They'll turn over on the hinges of their bed of excuses and say, I'll not go because that lion will slay me. It's just an excuse. It's an imaginary lion. Look at Psalms in chapter 35. The book of Psalms in chapter 35. We'll read down there about verse 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavenly as one that mourneth for his mother.
But in my adversity they rejoice and gather themselves together. Yea, the abjects gather themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from the destruction, my darling from the lion. You know, there are some real lions out there. But many times they're just imaginary. How many times have we gone out to preach and went out in the morning prayers and preached the gospel, and we run across people, wicked people that are false prophets and deceptive people that were against us. And they raised their voice against us, or they raised their hands against us, or they threw stones at us, or they afflicted us in some other manner. And that night we began to tremble. I mean, we thought about going back to that same street again. And we said, oh, we can't go back there. At least that's what we thought. We can't go back there. You know how they treated us this morning? Oh, we just can't go back there. And how many times did we overcome that fear and go out anyway? And there was nothing to be afraid of. How many times have people told us, oh, you don't want to preach in that neighborhood. That's where the banderos are at. You better watch out that neighborhood. Oh, all the bad people are in there. Huh? The boogeyman's over there. They're going to get you. You better watch out. Huh? And we overcome that fear and slew the imaginary lion and overcome that disposition and lack of desire to exert ourselves. And we went out anyway. And an Alberto was saying. And an Isidro was saying. Huh? It's the slothful man. It's a man looking for excuses. And a man that does not want to exercise himself in spiritual warfare. A man that is avoiding that type of conflict would work 12 to 15 hours a day in order to make money, but would not exert himself in a spiritual warfare. There are some that would be willing to give their lives for a country called America, but there are some that would not be willing to give their lives for the kingdom of God. And shame on us. There are some dangers. We need to be careful. Look in 1 Kings in chapter 13. Here's a man of God. God sent him on a mission. God told him exactly what to do. But another so-called prophet comes and talked him out of the will of God. And we won't read the whole story. You'll have time to read it. But notice what happened. And it came to pass, verse 23. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and as stood by it, the lion also stood by the carcass. Now here was a man that actually went and began to do the will of God, but somebody talked him out of doing it God's way. Somebody came along and said, no, you ought not to do it God's way. Yes, we know that God chose by the foolish to preach and save them to believe, but we got a better idea because we're from Ford, see? Huh? We got a better idea. And they talk them out of doing it God's way, and they began to do it some other way. And you know what happened? A lion got a hold of him. And they didn't do it God's way. And bless God, if you're going to get up out of your bed and you're going to go out into the street, you better do it God's way. Because if you don't do it God's way, there might be a lion out there waiting for you. False prophet. People don't want to go to Poland because of false prophets. People don't want to go to Poland or some other country because they have this imagination in their mind, preconceived ideas that the King of East will not allow them to go there and preach. Look in Psalms in chapter 10. Look down about verse 9. He's talking about the wicked man. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them in his net. He croucheth and humble himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see it. Huh? My Bible says that the wicked man is like a lion, hiding out there, waiting to catch the poor. And do you realize from the time that I preached on Wednesday night until this morning that literally hundreds of people have died and went out to eternity? Do you realize that hundreds of people, literally thousands we could say, have gone out into eternity and been held captive by the devil and have gone out to a devil's hell? The devil is devouring the poor every day. My Bible says that the gospel is preached unto the poor. And yet the slothful man, that man that refuses to exert himself in the exercise of the Spirit and doing God's will not go and preach the gospel because of imagined fear of the wicked. Well, something might happen to me. Well, something is happening to the poor lost souls out there. And somebody ought to rise up. A righteous man, a faithful man, a just man ought to rise up and say, I'll plead the cause for the wicked. As I preached on Wednesday night, if it was your child in the mouth of the lion, wouldn't you run out there and do something?
Read a story in Reader's Digest. A big old bear came up and grabbed a woman's husband and had him in his teeth and his claws. And the woman came with a camera and beat him on the head with it. You'd do something if it was your loved one, wouldn't you? But because of a lack of compassion and real Christian charity for those lost in Poland and other countries around the world, you'll not rise up out of your bed of slothfulness, and you'll continue to make excuses why you can't go. If you're looking for excuse, you'll find plenty of them. If you're looking for excuse, anyone will do. There's a line without. If I go out there, I'll be slain in the street. Look in Psalms in chapter 17 and verse 12. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Talking about the wicked. Look at Psalm 22 and verse 13. This is what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. They gaped upon me with their mouths, and as a ravening and a roaring lion. Yes. Yes, if there really is a lion out there, they really are dangerous. And they can cut you, and they can kill you, and you may lose your life if there really is a lion out there. But I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friends and brothers and sisters, that yes, there are some lions out there, and this is the very reason we need to rise up and go, because those lions are devouring the innocent and devouring poor lost sinners, and somebody's got to go in and protect them and tell them about the Lord Jesus. Somebody's got to rise up and plead the cause. They are being devoured by governments. Look at Kosovo. Literally thousands of people are losing their lives. Being devoured by governments. They're being devoured by religion. Looking around the world, looking about you, all the religions in the world, leading lost sinners astray. Leading them out of the will of God into destruction, everlasting fire. Do you remember the film the slide presentation going into the camps thinking, oh, we're just going into the work camp. Work will make you free. But they find themselves in the gas chambers and going out in eternity without Christ. Did you hear the message the other night? There are people dying, desiring to know God, but have never heard the gospel. Who's going to rise up and plead the cause? The slothful man saith. That is the man having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion. There's a lion without. I should be slain in the street. Well, let's say it's real. Let's say what the slothful man says. Wouldn't that be a way to die? I mean, to die in the cause of Christ. I mean, to go down with the sword in your hand, fighting down. I mean, they had to come and peel your fingers off the old sword. Wouldn't that be the way to go? Some of you holding on just waiting for cancer to eat you up. Huh? If something's going to eat me, I'd rather have a lion eat me any day of the week, you know? Huh? If I'm going to go out, I want to go out in a blaze of glory. I want to go down swinging. I don't want to go down to my bed of ease. See, I can't go out there and fight because there's a lion out there. There's a whole lot of things that might slay you. Your job might slay you. Your automobile might slay you. Your neighbor might slay you. I mean, there's a whole lot of ways to die. Why not die in the service of your King? Why not die in the service of our Lord and Savior? Well, I'll tell you another. That lion has another name. It's called the devil. There is a real devil. And the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if you think the devil is imaginary, you got another thing coming. He is out there, and he desires to slay you. That's why the Bible says we have to be sober and vigilant, because we have an adversary. And some of you think that by staying in your bed and turning on your hinges of excuses that you're avoiding the devil, and do not realize that the devil has you in his jaws already, because you weren't sober and you weren't vigilant. We are in a battle. The fight is on. We're Christian soldiers. Look over in 1 Kings in chapter 20. Excuse the many verses, but the scriptures seem to tell these things much more than I'm capable of. 1 Kings in chapter 20 and 30 and verse 36. I'll read verse 35. And a certain man of the sons of the prophet said unto his neighbor, in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Now what happened? A prophet rose up, gave a man the word of the Lord. That word of the Lord did not seem comprehensible to him, did not seem reasonable to him, or whatever. He refused to do that which God commanded. And because he refused to do that which God commanded, a lion did rise up and a lion did slay him. There are some real lions out there, and I want you to know some of them lions will get you because God Himself sent those lions. And those lions were sent not to devour the righteous, but to devour the disobedient. And that which you greatly fear will come into your door and devour you because you refuse to do the will of God. Isn't that what it's saying? Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if somebody sitting here in this room this morning that God has been dealing with about going to Poland, but they refuse to do it. I'm not going to do it. They're resisting the Spirit of God. I'm not going to do it. And they're not going to obey the voice of the Lord. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to lose their spiritual lives. They're going to lose their lives. They're going to lose their rewards. That which God, a lion will come and devour everything they have. I mean, if there's a lion about, we ought to be afraid of it, and we ought to look about how we can overcome that lion and how we can slay that lion or how we could avoid that lion. Look in 2 Kings in chapter 17, verse 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthath and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there, they that feared not the Lord, therefore the Lord set lions among them, which slew some of them. Did you catch that? The Lord sent the lions. Now who were the lions devouring? They that feared not the Lord. And let me tell you something, God is greater than any lion you're ever going to see. And it would behoove us to fear God much more than some lion out there in the street. And we have a problem in our churches today. We have a problem right here in our own hearts and our own lives is that we fear imaginary and real things in this life much more than we fear God. And that is not wise. Amen. We ought to fear God more than anything else. And if we'd get a real fear of God, we'd not be afraid of Poland. Amen. If we'd get a real fear of God, we'd not be afraid of Turkey. If we'd get a real fear of God, we'd not be afraid of Mexico. If we'd get a real fear of God, we'd not be afraid of their faces. And if we'd get a real fear of God, some lion in the street is not going to keep us in our bed. We'd rise up, pull out our sword or whatever, and go out and face the lion. Or at least go out the back door and get around him somehow. I mean, I suppose if I looked out there and saw a lion in the street, I would find a way around him. Yes, there's some lions out there in the street. Sometimes those lions, real or imaginary, are kings of the land. Sometimes those lions, real or imaginary, are false religions, false prophets. Sometimes those lions out there in that street, real or imaginary, are the wicked. I mean, some of them wicked can do you bodily harm. And there's a real lion out there called the devil, and he's seeking to devour. And what you don't know is, he's not only out there in the street, he's right next to your bed.
Amen.
You think he's just out there in the street? You don't think the devil's just over in Poland? You think the devil's only across the border? The devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And it's that man having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion who says, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the street. Well, I suppose we could just close up our Bible and say, let's shut her down. There's a lion without. No use worrying about missions. There's a lion out there that's going to devour us. Nobody wants to get devoured by a lion. Let's just give it up. Give it up. There's a lion out there. We can't do anything. Bar the doors. But it seems I remember a king named Darius who said to the man of God, Is thy God able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lion?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
And the prophet responding, he is able. Oh yeah, he's able, O king. He's able. He has delivered me from the mouth of the lion. I want you to know, brethren, that I want to exhort you and persuade you and talk to you and convince you and preach to you and tell you by the grace of God that God is able to deliver from the mouth of the lion. If there really is a lion out there, he is able to deliver us.
Amen.
You get these missionaries around here and you get them to tell you some stories that they've been through and God has delivered us out of the mouth of the lion. He delivered Daniel, didn't he? Not just one lion, a bunch of them. Pitched him right down there in a den of lions and God delivered. Why? Because he is in the will of God. And it's been preached around here. There's nothing new to you. It's better to be in the will of God in a den of lions than to be out of the will of God on a bed of excuses.
Amen.
I would ask you this morning, who are going to help the 40 million souls in Poland? Who's going to rise up with a voice of righteousness and the Word of God and preach the gospel in Poland? Who's going to do it? Who's going to go? Well, I can't go because there's a lion over there. Yeah, I understand. David was delivered from a lion.
It says over there in Samuel, thy servant slew, he's talking to the king, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. Don't you know we're in the army of a King of Kings?
Amen.
We're in the army of the living God. We're on the victorious side. We might be slain in battle, but we're going to rise from the dead. Hey, they're celebrating Easter, Passover, what do you want, all around the world. What? Go, and the Lord be with thee. I want you to know if you got some experience fighting lions and bears, you're not afraid of some Philistine out there. Huh? And the king says, go, and the Lord be with thee. Would to God somebody hear the voice of the king that says, go, and I'll be with thee. Go ahead and go to Poland. I'll be with thee. I'll be there. I'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. And bless God, if you do die in my service, bless in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Bless God, I'll raise you up from the dead, and you'll walk on streets of gold, and you'll be with me, and I'll give you a crown of glory.
Amen.
Or a crown of life. Huh? Is thy God able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lion? If you can say yes, then get out of your bed of slothfulness. Run away from that disposition to avoid exertion and go out there and face the lion. And you'll find out that he's not really out there many times. You just thought he was out there. You just thought he was out there. But he's not there many times. He's not there. You just think he's there. Look in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Look down at verse 17. Here's the Apostle Paul. He said, notwithstanding... Oh, I should read verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Huh? Isn't that some of our excuses? Well, nobody else is going. I'll be all by myself. Nobody else is going to do the work. Nobody else is going to help me. I'm going to be all by myself. I pray God that it be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I think it was Jason stood up there the other night and said, God is with us. Huh? God is with us. What do you mean you're going by yourself? You got the Lord of Lords with you. Huh? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. There's the testimony of the Apostle Paul, and he went through some afflictions, he went through some trials, but God was with him and delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. And bless God, if God can do it for Paul, he can do it for you.
Amen.
What are you afraid of? All right, I'll tell you what you're afraid of. You're afraid you're not going to have enough money. That's what you're afraid of. You see, that lion's got a name. He's called Mr. Finance. Huh? You're afraid that you're going to get over there and you're not going to have enough money. You're afraid to walk by faith. All right? We got 10 missionary families here. Not one of them ever had to come back because of lack of money. Huh? I remember four years ago, Joel and I talking. You know, it's going to cost a lot of money over there, Paul. You sure we ought to go? And that old Mr. Slothfulness was creeping in our bones and trying to keep us in our bed. You know, I don't know. That's a lot of money, Joe. You know, huh? I know that lion's got a name, but if you just walk out of the door, all of a sudden you find out he's just a shadow. You just thought you weren't going to make it. Huh? You just thought God wasn't going to supply. God has supplied. Now, I don't know how he did. I can't explain how he did, but he has supplied. We have not lacked money in Poland. Huh? That hasn't been the problem. That was an imaginary line. Oh, sure, every missionary would like to have more money. Sure they would. But that hasn't been the problem. It's an imaginary line. God has supplied every missionary's desire to go. Not one missionary in 25 years has ever come back because of lack of finances. Huh? Do you know how many missionaries I know that have gone around 3-4 years trying to get money to go to the mission field, and then they say they can't go because they haven't got enough money? I'll tell you something else you're afraid of. You're afraid of the language. Now, you're pretty wise to be afraid of that. I mean, that lion's got some teeth in him. Huh? You know, he might be a pussycat down there in Mexico with that little Spanish language. I mean, you just go up there and, you know, pet that cat. Huh? But you start tackling Polish or Arabic. Huh? That lion's got some teeth. Huh? You'd do well to carry a sword and go and tackle that lion. Or at least a slingshot or something, you know. Huh? You're afraid of the language. But you know what? You learn to speak English. Huh? I'm not going to deceive you this morning. That language is difficult. It makes you want you quit. You'll see them big old paws coming at you and you think, oh, I got to get out of here. Huh? About the second month in, you're studying, and you haven't understood a word that's been said in 2 months. And you're going to say, this line is too much for me. I'm checking out of here. Isn't that right? Huh? And then after about 3 months, you can finally say one sentence.
And then your six-year-old daughter comes in and she's just blabber. She hadn't even been studying. Huh? Language is difficult, but that's a lion that can be slain. Jeremiah said, but Lord, I'm just a babe. Well, isn't that where everybody learns how to speak a language when they're a babe? Huh? Isn't that what Moses said? Lord, I don't know how to speak. But if God has called you, He'll give you the language. Now, it might take you 5 years. It might take some humility to go out there and just talk like a five-year-old all the time. Huh? And you know what we can call that lion, he's got another name called pride, see? Huh? You're afraid to be humbled. And you mark it down, you will be humbled when you start speaking another language. I do not deceive you. If you go to Poland and start learning Polish, you're going to want to quit from day one to day two, down to the very last day. You think, I'm never going to get this language. And then you wake up one day and you're out there on the street corner preaching. And people are actually understanding you. And then somebody's going to get saved. Then you're going to say, hey, it was worth it all. Huh? And then you're going to see cat fur all over. You didn't even realize it. Huh? I know that lion's name. He's got a name called food. Huh? I mean, I like eating here. I mean, you people feed me what I like. I mean, Big Eddie says, hey, Brent, let's go to Baskin Robbins and get one of them banana split milkshakes at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's go. Now, he had said, let's go get some black beans or sauerkraut. You know what my wife did to me this morning? She opened a 5-gallon can of sauerkraut. I did not come back to America to see sauerkraut. I guess she's trying to get me used to getting ready to go back to Poland. You know what sauerkraut, that stuff stinks. She opened up that can while I'm way back in the bathroom. I thought, what is going on? Who's got sauerkraut in this house? Huh? Some of you don't want to go out over to Poland or to some other country and preach the gospel because you're afraid of that lion called food. Huh? And some of you do you good to let that lion take a few pounds off of you, you know? But you can slay that lion. Más frijoles, por favor. More beans, please. I tell you what, there's another lion out there. He's called the lion of weather. Huh? Huh? I went back to Mexico and I thought, it's February. Look at all this sunshine. I got sunburned in February. Huh? Poor old Joe ain't seen the sun in 3 months over there in Poland. You know, and I've been down in Mexico getting sunburned. It's cold in Poland. I kid you not. It's cold. You get out there with your Bible in your hand. You got these gloves on and you can't hardly open your Bible. And your toes are freezing off, and your ears are freezing off, and you're just shivering, and your muscles get cramps in it because your back's shivering so much. It's cold over there in Poland. Huh? That's why there's more missionaries in warm weather climate. That's why there's above 1,500 missionaries in Mexico and less than 100 in Poland. Huh? That's why you find volunteers to the beautiful climate countries. Because some people have a real fear that lion out in the streets is called weather. And this is a practical thing too. How many times have we looked up in the clouds and said, oh, we can't preach today, it's going to rain. And so we sit in our house and it never does rain. Huh? And sometimes they said, well, those are clouds without water. We're going to go preach anyway. We go down there preaching, it doesn't rain. Why? Because we overcome that lion called weather. Oh, it's too dark out. We can't go preaching. Well, you'd never preach in Poland. It gets dark about 3:30 in the afternoon. I don't know what you'd do if you were worried about dark. What, they don't fight wars at night? Oh, it's nighttime. Everybody shut down the bazookas. Turn off the tanks. I mean, no, it's dark out. I mean, most of the fighting goes on in a real war during the nighttime, ain't it? I tell you, that line is called preaching. Oh, boy, that's a ferocious line. People are afraid of preaching. I started asking the missionaries around there, over there in Poland. I said, how come you don't preach? Thank God some were sincere. I'm afraid. What? Isn't that the truth? What do they think? I'm not afraid? What do you think? These other preachers aren't afraid? Huh? But the Lord is with us. And we overcome that fear. Don't you think David is afraid when he went out to fight the lion? Huh? Don't you think Daniel is just a little bit afraid when he's going down that den of lions? But he had faith. He feared God more than he feared the lion. And that's the difference. Oh, I got some other names from them lions out there. Now this is a lion. He's a sneaky lion. He's lurking. He's called the Ye Did Run Well lion. That lion keeps you in your bed because you're satisfied. Well, I've already fought the wars. Huh? It was time for kings to go out and do battle, but old King David, he says, there's a lion out in the street and I'm going to camp out here in bed. I've already run real well. That's a dangerous type of lion running around here. You better be careful of that lion, because that will get to people like us. Because we can sit on our duffs and sit in our bed and say, oh yeah, well we've already done that. Yeah, I've already done that. Yeah, I've knocked on plenty of doors. I knocked on more doors than most people alive. I am satisfied with what I've already done. I done run well. Huh? I've already passed out more tracts than many churches pass out in their entire lifetime. I've already preached more gospel messages. I've already done it! And they don't know that line right there called, ye did run well, is lurking and devouring. Well, there's a whole bunch of lions out there with a whole bunch more names. And you can just take your pick. If you're a slothful man, if you're a type of man or woman having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion, you can find all sorts of lions. Huh? You can just take your pick. I mean, they come all sorts of shapes and sizes and colors. But you know, Daniel was delivered. David was delivered. Amen. Paul was delivered. Amen. Samson was delivered. And bless God, if these guys were delivered, God can deliver us too. We are able in the will of God. We are able by the grace of God. We have the Word of God. We have the call of God. We have the ability of God. God is able to deliver us. Amen. We can win Poland. We can win Mexico. We can go and overcome some lions. Amen. We can destroy the lion of finance blues. We can destroy the lion of language. We can take down that lion of weather. We can overcome that lion of food and culture. We can take the lion of preaching. We can overcome that lion, that sneaky lion crawl, ye did run well. And we can set our eyes on Jesus and go out and preach the gospel wherever it may be.
Amen.
And would to God someone rise up today and said, I'll go to Poland.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of the lion. I'm afraid of God. And I'll grab the sword of the Spirit and I'll go out and I'll face the lion. And if I die, then I'm going to go out trying to do the will of God. Now, how are you going to do that? It says, by faith, they stop the mouth of the lion. It's going to take some faith. And if you don't have faith, you just might as well stay in bed. Because you're not going to overcome that lion without faith. Look in Judges chapter 14, verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother and Timnath. And came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Right? He got out of his bed, went out in the street, was going somewhere, and a lion came out against him. What's he going to do? Hightail and run? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Huh? The Spirit of God comes on you. You can take any lion that comes on the way. I don't care how ferocious. I don't care what his name is, how long he's been lurking. If the Spirit of God comes on you, Amen. You can overcome him. Would to God some men and women had the Spirit of God to go out in his power and his might. It's not by our power. It never has been our might. Has never been up to our ability. It's always been by the Spirit of God and the grace of God. Look in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. Oh, by the way, the Bible says the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. That was a freebie. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Huh? When we walk in the righteousness of God, when you're doing the right thing, it just makes you bold. When you know you're doing right, I mean, you can stand and resist. Wait a minute. This is the right way. We're doing right. We're not doing wrong. Yeah, but you can't preach here. We don't want you. Wait a minute. We have a right to preach here. We have authority to preach here. Yeah, but we don't want you to. Yes, but we're in the right and you're in the wrong. It just makes you bold. My Bible says a righteous man is bold as a lion. And some of you, the reason you're not bold is because you're not right.
Amen.
Did you get that? I mean, it's kind of hard to be bold when you're wrong. But you're doing the right thing. I mean, you can just get a little bit bold. Police officer comes up and says, I want your name because you're preaching out here in the gospel. Fine, I'll give you my name. What's your name? What? I said, well, I'm giving my name. Here's my identification. I'd like your identification. Well, why do you want it? Well, I know I'm in the right and I'm going to report you because you're in the wrong. Oh, no, I got to go. Goodbye. Huh? That's happened time and time again. Huh? Because you're in the right. The righteous are bold as a lion. And you'll not overcome that lion if you're not right. Well, I've already given examples where the man of God obeyed not the voice of God and that lion overcome him. I've already given examples where they feared not God and the lions overcome. If you're not right, the lion will overcome you. But the righteous are bold as a lion, and we need some righteous people to go to Poland. We need some valiant men. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, Bananiah. You can look up in 2 Samuel 23. He says he slew a lion and two lion-like men. Why? Because he is valiant. Let me tell you something. There's no lions in Glory Land. All our lion fighting and lion slaying has to be done right now. We're not going to get another chance to slay lions.
We're not going to get another chance to exert ourselves and show faith and show the righteousness of God in us and the light of God and the grace of God. We're not going to get another chance. And whether we, if we die in our bed of excuses, turning over and over and over again, then we're not going to get another chance in glory land to go fight lions, because there are no lions in glory land. If we're going to fight lions, or we're going to get out of our bed of ease and go out and destroy their lions, it's going to be today. Today's the day. And if we're going to rescue Poland today, somebody's going to have to rise up and go. And if we're going to see New Testament churches in every major city of Poland, then today somebody's going to say, I'll be a volunteer, I'll go, and I'll get out of my bed of ease, and I'll face the lion of language, I'll face the lion of finances, I'll face the lion of food, I'll overcome that lion called weather, I'll get out of my bed and fight that lion lurking in the bushes called ye did run well. I'll not rest on my laurels, I'll not be satisfied with what I've done yesterday, I want to press on. And they'll pull out that sword of the Spirit and face that lion. And if they go down fighting the lion overcomes them, then they're overcome in the will of God. I don't know about you, brethren, but since God saved me, I want to go down fighting. I'm not always right. I've made mistakes. I got some scars on there that I wish I didn't have. And them lions that got me because I wasn't cautious and I wasn't doing the right thing and according to the will of God. Yes, 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 but I want to go out fighting. It's one of the things motivated me. Went over to Poland and they said, you don't want to come here, it's too hard. This lion's too big. And I thought about David facing that giant. I thought, well, you know, the Lord got me out of the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear. Sure, me, he'll get me out of the lion called Poland. Huh? I don't know about you, but I want to fight giants. I don't want to just fight giants, I want to win. I want to, like he was preaching the other day, I was beyond our measure. I want to see some God do some things. In order for that to happen, somebody's got to attempt some or do some things for God or try some things for God. I mean, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat and take some risks, don't you? Huh? Nobody ever walked on water sitting in a boat. Nobody ever slew a lion laying in bed. All the lion fighters are out there in the streets. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but I want to tell you something. Many times there's no lion out there. 9 times out of 10, it just ain't there. The lion was imaginary. Did you know what? They make gloves for hands. When it gets cold, you can put more clothes on. You know what? They make hot chocolate. Did you know that? They got hot chocolate. It gets cold, you just run right in there, you get hot chocolate. They have hot tea. And for some of you backsliders, they even have coffee. Did you know that? Huh? Did you know what? You can learn Polish. I learned it. Huh? And if I can learn it, I know you can learn it. Huh? Did you know what? Well, my faith is being severely tested here. You can actually eat sauerkraut. I did it once. It was a miracle of God. I mean, there's some things you can overcome. Sauerkraut. You know what that is? Well, I can't tell you what that is. It's rotten cabbage. That's what it is. It's rotten cabbage. A lion went over there and ate it, and he didn't like it. Saw it out there in the field and ate that fresh cabbage. He ate up, and he didn't like it. That's what sauerkraut is. Huh? But in a fix, sauerkraut will do. I mean, if you're hungry enough. What I'm trying to tell you is you can overcome them lions. Here's what he says in Psalm 91 and verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Huh? You can be victorious. You can rise up and go to Poland. You can do it by the grace of God. You can do it. But you'll not do it as long as you say, there's a lion out and I shall be slain. You'll not do it as long as you have the attitude or showing the disposition to avoid exertion. Because you must exert yourself to go to Poland. There must be some type of exertion. You cannot go to Poland in your bed. You have to rise up and go. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to have mercy upon me, to have mercy upon Brother Joe, to have mercy upon the country of Poland. Lord, you yourself prayed for laborers, and Lord, I ask for laborers for Poland. Lord, I pray that you would call preachers of the gospel out of this church to go to Poland. Lord, you called me to be an ambassador, and Lord, there's nobody else to plead for Poland. And I stand here behind this pulpit, and I ask you to move upon hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up overcomers in this church. I pray that you would raise up lion slayers in this church. Lord, I pray that you would make people bold as a lion. I pray that you'd make them valiant. Lord, I pray you'd make them righteous and give them the faith they need to do your will. Oh God, I pray that you'd use us for your glory and for your honor. I commit this meeting and this cause to your name. Amen.